Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
When you are sitting there and the truth is presented, it doesn't talk about anyone else. It addresses you. And if you don't want truth, that's when many people say, this isn't what we're looking for. We're looking for something with programs. But for the genuine, honest seeker who wants the truth, when it convicts, there's a mixed conviction, pain, but joy. The joy comes because you go, man, that's true. And then the wrestling begins because it's true.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
The truth of God's Word is life-changing. It has the power to set people free. The Scriptures teach us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Understand that what the Bible has to say isn't always comfortable, but when taken in and applied to our lives, it brings great blessing. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 verse 20. As we join Pastor Troy for the conclusion of our message entitled The Mission of Jesus.
Because what was important is that they understand, in light of all of the Scriptures that they had studied and known, that they should have spoken of him. And so he explained everything concerning himself to them. That was what was important to him. That's what the Bible's all about. It's not a book to preach to you morals and laws. They're in there. We'll talk about that. However, that's not what the book is about. The book is about revealing Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that man could not approach God anymore. We were destined for judgment and hell. And yet he made a way, a covering, so that there could be reconciliation between men and God. And that's good news. And that's what gospel means. Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus said to the religious leaders, "You search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me." In other words, they were looking at Scriptures and the oral law to find righteousness. We're going to do this and this and this and this and this and this and be righteous. And that's how they saw righteousness. I'm doing these things and I'm righteous. Jesus said, "You're missing the point. You missed it. I'm standing right here. You're my enemy right now. You're studying the law. You think in them you have eternal life, that you're righteous. And yet they're the things that speak of me, and you've missed me." What a bummer. I hope you don't want to miss Jesus with all the righteousness and all the morality being preached as legalism. That's not why you do things to be righteous. We do the things we do. We respond to Christ. We want to present His image, His character, because we love Him. We're thankful to Him because we see Him. And in response to that, we love Him. We express our love that way. If you love someone, let's talk about marriage, and your spouse goes to give you an embrace, it's loving to respond with an embrace, to open up and embrace. It's not loving when they come in to go and push them back. Or to go, I hugged myself already for you. That's not a good response. And so the reason that we live the way we do and we respond the way we do and we align our lives and our character the way God wants us to, even dealing with our very hearts and thoughts, right? The reason we do that is in response to Him who sees all of that. Because He is worthy. Because He's good. Because He first loved us. Scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. And so it is a response to Him. Now God had given the law. Part of the law was, and this is very important for us, the wages of sin is death. So as a sinner, unless you're perfect, and the Scriptures already tell us none are, but unless you're perfect, without sin, without ever even a bad thought, you've never lied, you've never considered lying. Unless that's true of you, you're a sinner destined for hell apart from Christ. you have to be perfect. Since that's true, your lot is death. Death naturally, yes, but also death eternally. When he says death, he means death. Not just the one on earth and then let's go enjoy heaven. That eternal separation from God. So that's the law. It's the law. God has to obey the law. It's his law. He made it. He said it. So, as a sinner, you're condemned. Now, God also had given a law to the Israelites. A law that was supposed to cause them to become a light to the world. Because God was trying to redeem, rescue fallen men, so he was beginning to draw men to himself. So he gave them laws so that as they conformed to these things, the world would say, you're different. God is with you. We see his blessings. This is great. And they could say, yeah, it's because we follow God. But Israel failed to be the light that they were supposed to be. That's what those laws were for, to cause them to become a light and put them in a position where they could obey and approach God in a system of worship. God had given them laws that would ensure their blessing and health. He said, if you do these things, you will be blessed. If you eat these things, if you cleanse yourself, if you do this stuff, you'll remain healthy. If you go the other direction, you're going to get sicknesses. You're going to have plagues. These things are going to happen, or my judgment. And he made a clear line. Here's the blessing sign, and here you're on your own. So they failed there too. They couldn't fulfill any law for any reason that God had given them. And it showed men that a law and a task list isn't going to do it for us. We cannot fulfill righteousness by things to do. So, what needs to happen? Well, Jesus fulfills the law. In Isaiah 53:5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. See, we couldn't have peace. But because of him, we now can. And by his stripes, we are healed. All God wants to do by putting parameters on your life, by governing your life, by being Lord of your life, is he wants to take care of you. That's what he wants. Not to restrict you because I'm God and I just want to tell you what to do. He wants to bless you. He wants your life to be a blessing. But more than that, just like Israel failed as a Christian, as a follower now of his, he wants to give you those parameters and give you those guidelines and lead you in the right ways to go so that you can be a light. He wanted Israel to be a light to the nations. They failed. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Oh, by the way, you are the light of the world. You're going to carry that banner. You're going to carry that torch. That's why we have those guidelines. And that's why he said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. There are still things that I want you guys to do, but not to be saved, not to be righteous even, because I have a purpose. He came for a mission and he left us with that mission. He loves us and he loves the world. And he says in verse 18, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He also came to confirm the law to Israel. So that as he's making these transitions, he's saying, look, I didn't come to say this is no good. I came to fulfill it because you guys can't. And then later on, we'll talk about the fact that he kind of defines it clearly for them. Jesus didn't throw out all of the standards. He simply brought the heart of the standards or the heart of God's word to the people back to the forefront so that we consider the why. God's heart, something that we fail to consider when we think about laws, rules, just do this, just do that. When we understand God's heart in things, it makes it a little easier for us to go, ooh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I see what that leads to, God. That has been a burden in our relationship. My attitude, my responses. Sure, I'm trying to defend myself, but I notice that if I actually respond in love in the right way, it changes his response and everything's a little different. And we begin to see God's heart and purpose for things. God's purpose in everything that he does is that he loves you. His motive, I guess I could say. He loves you. You've gone through a painful experience. It's not a result of your own sin, but you've gone through a painful experience, something outside of your control. And let me just tell you, I don't know all the whys, but I know God loves you. And God's heart is to build you. Some of that building and working in you is the desire to long for heaven. If we're too happy, too content, nothing is wrong on earth, we might say what we say now, many of us, and I'm not ready for heaven. I kind of like this. I want to fulfill school. I'd like to get married, and I'd like to live to be 100, and then the rapture can happen. Like, no, 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 no. God wants you longing for heaven now. And in this world, it's not that he causes the pains and the trials. It's that we're in a sin-fallen world. He permits them. And it helps us to continue to be hungry for heaven, to look to him. That's one of the reasons that bad things happen. It helps us to long for heaven because we know it shouldn't be this way. So God no longer leads you and I by thousands of laws, but here's how he leads you now. By the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11 say, Jesus speaking, it is to your advantage that I go away. This is after his resurrection. He's going to ascend. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. That is the sin. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and they won't have the standard of righteousness before them, and so they need conviction for what is right, what's wrong. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judge. Of judgment, because nobody believes there will be a judgment for them, and they need to be aware of that. John 16:13, he said, Jesus speaking, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will be your teacher. Some of you have experienced this. You have this conviction. Maybe some have experienced this, where you go to a church that maybe it's just a unique church. Somehow you got there and you're studying. You're like, yeah, man, all right, the Lord, you're on fire, and you come to faith. But then you start like going, that's weird. I don't know what they're talking about. And maybe they take some of the gifts of the Spirit and they abuse those. And you go, man, I want to be spiritual, but this just doesn't feel like God. I don't want to be unspiritual. And God starts to stir in your heart this need for real, for substance, for growth. And he leads you into a place where you can grow and develop. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He leads us. Most of us have experienced that to some degree. God's leading. It's the burden in our heart. He leads us into truth. Oh, I thank God for that. But here's the condition. You have to really want truth. Because the truth can be hard. The truth pierces you. It doesn't correct your kids. It doesn't correct your spouse. The truth hits you. When you are sitting there and the truth is presented, it doesn't talk about anyone else. It addresses you. And if you don't want truth, that's when many people say, this isn't what we're looking for. We're looking for something with programs. But for the genuine, honest seeker who wants the truth, when it convicts, there's a mixed conviction, pain, but joy. The joy comes because you go, man, that's true. And then the wrestling begins because it's true. The law revealed that there's good and there's bad, that there's right and that there's wrong, that there is truth, that there is error, and that there is blessing and cursing. Galatians 3:24, Paul said, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. See, the goal for God in giving those laws, one of the goals, a primary goal, was to prepare men for Christ. The truth. The fact that there is justice, right and wrong, judgment. We could say heaven and hell. To Pilate, it was, Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Pilate's response, same response today. What is truth? What is truth? While he was here, Jesus preached the kingdom of heaven and he warned of the kingdom of hell. He warned of hell. There's a truth. If there is truth, it seems like we should want to know it. If there is a heaven and hell, it seems like we would want to know what gets you to heaven, what helps you avoid hell, that would be important to us. So many people are trying by good works to be good enough to be able to stand before a God one day, a God that they don't know or know from a distance, and they hope to be able to stand and be good enough. And you will never, ever, ever be good enough, because it's not about morality. It's about Jesus Christ. What have you done with Him? He is the line in the sand. Listen to what Jesus says here. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that was a pretty radical statement Jesus made, because according to the people, the scribes and the Pharisees represented the height of righteousness. You had to go to school years to learn enough to know how to be that righteous. And so if that wasn't good enough, what was? What is righteousness? Well, to put it in just a small phrase, the righteousness would be the ideal of God. God's ideal. That's righteousness. It has nothing to do with, you know, was it a good act? Was it a bad act? You can do good things and have nothing to do with what God wants to do. And it's not righteous. It's not good. Works that God would do, works that God wants to do, that's righteous. Everything else is a waste. Everything else is unrighteous. God knows everything He wants to do. And everything He wants to do is everything. So you never miss out when we do everything God wants to do. Scripture says that our deeds are as filthy rags, and that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now connect the dots. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The righteous works are righteousness according to His ideal. You cannot do good things. You cannot do the righteous things, the things that He wants you to do, unless you know Him and you know His heart, and unless you have faith in Him. Therefore, without faith, you can't know what He wants to do. And we have to seek Him. And He leads us in the way that we should go. Now, since we are far less than God's ideal, how do we become righteous? Well, it's a gift. The righteousness required for heaven is a gift, because you're going to fail. You're going to be imperfect. There's going to be too much of you and not enough of Him on many occasions. It's a gift. Romans 5:17 says, for by one man's offense, the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. It's as if the whole world is floating downstream, going with the culture, going with the way the world is, blending in. You can't tell one body from the next. They're all just floating. And then when the Spirit of God speaks to this, someone who is alive and who can respond to the Spirit of God, who speaks acts of righteousness, who speaks that righteous walk into their life, that person is enabled then to go, hey, I'm just floating with the current things of things. And the Holy Spirit says, stand up. That would be repent, turn, walk against the current. And as you walk against the current, it's not easy. You're going to dodge people. Hey, why aren't you going this way? That's where everybody's going. This is what's happening. Hey, this is cool. We're going against the current. That's the idea. That's repentance. That's the life of a Christian. We get up and we walk against everything else in order to follow the Lord. And it takes faith to do that. It's not about a bunch of rules. Heathen can follow a bunch of rules. All religious systems are built upon a bunch of rules. Follow this, do this, pray this way, pray this many times. Bunch of rules. It is about a relationship with Him. It is about believing in Him. Romans 4:3, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Believing in Him. Here's the trade. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That is love. So, Jesus fulfills the law. He fulfilled the law. We should be very thankful for that because we can't do it. You could try from now on, but you've already got your past. Too late. You can't do it. The law doesn't make us righteous. Romans 8:3-4. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Again, go back to that picture. You are now the one who stands and walks according to the Spirit, not according to the world. The world going one way. We are not. We're walking now according to the Spirit. Our sin was dealt with at the cross. It's a beautiful picture. Jesus gave us His righteousness that we might be reconciled to God and have fellowship with Him. The line between heaven and hell is not of morality, but it is Christ Himself. Do you believe in Him? Do you follow Him? If you follow Him, it will begin to show by your morality, by the things you begin to do. You're following Him. Following Him is going to change you, going to challenge you. And it's really about a relationship with Him. Do you have that relationship this morning? I hope that church hasn't just been a bunch of rules for you. I've got to do this, got to do that. You have to go to church. You have to go Sundays and Wednesdays. If you don't do Wednesdays, then you got to serve on a Tuesday or, you know, got to make it up. Get your spiritual bank account that you got to keep in balance. That's too much. We are to follow Jesus every single day. Church is every day for us. Now, we gather as an assembly on Sundays. Traditionally, the early church gathered on Sundays, so we gather. And because some said, man, weeks are long, later on, midweek services were established, developed. It's not the law of God. You have to go to the midweek service or you're not as spiritual as someone else. However, if you have the time, if God is leading, they're available, and it should be the desire of our heart to be around God's people. But it's not the law. And we got to be careful of not making it the law, like someone is less than someone else. Some people are working so much during the week. Praise God they can get here on a Sunday. Hey, NFL players who are committed to the Lord wholeheartedly, hard to make Sunday service. So we got to be careful about laws. But we all need to follow the Lord. And one thing following the Lord will do, forget Sunday and Wednesday and the law and this service and that service, it will draw God's people together. And we will not forsake the assembly together, as is the manner of some. So, let's look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, the one who wants to lead us in the way that we should go.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know You more.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew, here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. maybe the teaching you heard today is exactly what you're looking for in a church, then please join us. We meet Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. For more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
But somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.